Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. Thank you that you're speaking to us today through it. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. My name is Michelle. For those of you who haven't had a chance to meet, I'm part of the team here, and it is my joy and honor to be speaking to you on Father's Day and to be continuing our series in the book of Genesis. Over the last few weeks and into the summer, we're looking at how God reveals himself when he shows up to his people. I grew up with a girl in middle and high school who literally chronicled everything about every inch of life. And it's before we had smartphones and it was easy, so she had her camera everywhere with her. Not only did she take pictures, she always printed them out, and she was a major scrapbooker. Remember when scrapbooks were popular, right? I still have a scrapbook that she made me for my 16th birthday. It was a little creepy. I don't know how she got pictures of me from like birth onward, but she got it all in there and presented it to me. But she did something really interesting. When she met the man that she decided to marry, she went through all her old scrapbooks of middle and high school and cut the head out of the pictures of her previous boyfriends and replaced them with pictures of the man that she married. And all of us scratched our heads a little bit and went, okay, if it bothers you that much, maybe get rid of the scrapbook, or, you know, everyone has history. So we were all a little flabbergasted that she did that. She still chronicles everything. It's on Facebook now if you want to find out who she is. I can talk to you later. But how does that apply to this scripture verse today? It's Father's Day, right? And if we didn't have a lectionary, you would think maybe we wouldn't be choosing a passage about Abraham, father of the people of God, casting his son out into the wilderness. Doesn't sound like a great start for a Father's Day message. And maybe if you push that thought a little bit further, I wonder if you've ever had someone ask you, or you've ever wondered yourself, why are there such horrible stories in the Bible where the people of God are not acting like the people of God should, where terrible things are being done, and it just seems to all be condoned here in Scripture. But I believe that the reason why Scripture's like Hagar's and many other stories that might make us go, ooh, that's a little violent, or oh, that seems unjust, and why is that recorded? They're recorded in Scripture not to condone these types of behaviors. They're recorded in Scripture for at least two reasons. First of all, when we record even the most horrible things in history, they're recorded so that we can name them as wrong and so that we can learn from them, right? And so our Holy Scriptures records things like stories of Hagar and Ishmael so that God could say, this was not right the way she was treated. We need to learn from these mistakes. But then they're also recorded so that we can learn about the character of the God we serve by how he responds to these stories. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to dig into who is God the Father today on Father's Day, and what does the way that he responds to the story of Hagar and Ishmael, how does that teach us about his character as a father and why we can trust him? So first, the story of Hagar shows us a father who sees. God is a father who sees. Hagar's story is a hard one, and actually it doesn't start here in chapter 21. You might be familiar with the fact that five chapters earlier in chapter 16, we first meet Hagar. Hagar is the slave woman or servant of Sarah, and Sarah and Abraham had received amazing promise that they would be the parents of a great nation and their descendants would be more than the stars in the sky and more on the sand of the earth. But they're like 90 and 100 and there's no sand and there's no stars. And so Sarah was getting a little bit impatient. And so she goes, hey, take my slave woman. It was a custom in the day. It was okay. And she was like, take her and let's make an heir this way. And so she takes things into her own hands, and Hagar gets pregnant, and guess what happens? When Sarah's plan works, Sarah gets really angry. She feels outplaced. She doesn't like that the slave woman is now pregnant. And so we pick up with this story in Genesis chapter 16. She's really angry at her own plan working, and she goes to Abraham and says, get rid of this woman. And he goes, hey, you did this, right? He says, behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Then Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar, the Bible tells us, and Hagar fled from her. Now, Sarah dealt harshly with her as kind of a sanitized version of the words there. Because, you know, dealt harshly, I dealt harshly with my younger brothers and sisters when I was older. Sometimes I deal harshly with my words without realizing it. I'm a hot-blooded Italian woman, you know? So you think, oh, Sarah dealt harshly and Hagar fled. But the term dealt harshly in scripture here is the same exact term used for how the Egyptians were treating and mistreating the Israelites when they were in slavery. And whenever this term is used in scripture, it's the same term used of people that are having to flee there for their lives usually because they're being treated so badly and so violently. So Sarah's really not acting in godly character to Hagar. And then we pick up Hagar's story again in Genesis chapter 21, and we see that not only once, but twice in this scripture is this poor woman cast out into the desert because the people of God are angry with her. They don't want her to receive the rights that she should be receiving for having a child. And what else do we see, if you're astute? In chapter 16 and in chapter 21, Hagar is only called slave woman, servant, or slave girl by the people of God. Abraham and Sarah only ever refer to her that way. The only time her name is actually used and she's called by name is by the narrator and by God himself. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, and he said, "Hagar, slave girl of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going for?" So in chapter 16, God calls her by name. In chapter 21, the passage we read today, verse 17, God says, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not." In both instances, God himself appears physically to Hagar and calls her by name and shows her that no matter how she's being treated, he cares for her. And we see this all throughout scripture. Whenever God sees someone in scripture, it's showing that he cares. In Genesis chapter 29, when Leah has her baby Reuben, she says, "I'm calling him Reuben, for the Lord has seen my affliction." And then in Exodus chapter 3, when God appears to Moses in the burning bush, he says, "I have seen my people's affliction and I care deeply for them, so I am going to intervene." The story of Hagar reminds us that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have suffered, no matter if you feel like maybe you have been forgotten by your earthly father or by your heavenly father or by other people in life, God knows your name and he sees what you're going through. And he wants to interact with you and be present in your suffering. And then not only does God see Hagar, but Hagar gives this name to the Lord in Genesis chapter 16. She says, she gave this name to the Lord, "You are the God who sees me." So the story first reminds us that our Father is a God who sees. But you might ask, we're right back in the same place, right? So Hagar has this amazing moment with God where she's cast out into the desert the first time. God sees her. She sees the God who sees him. What happens? He sends her back to these people that have been mistreating her. And she has 14 more years, most commentators say, under this oppression before what happens then in today's passage? She's cast out again into the wilderness. How can someone who sees all of this injustice ask for Hagar to go back and submit to Sarah for 14 more years or allow her to be cast out again into the wilderness? Once again, it tells us a little bit more about the character of our Father. He's the God who sees us in our suffering, and yes, he's moved to compassion on our behalf. He wants to stand up and intervene when we face injustice and hardship, but also he sees what we cannot. He sees the end of the story. Because this Father who sees, the first time he appears to Hagar and he calls her by name, he lets her know that he's heard her and seen her affliction. He then delivers her a promise before she goes back. Not only does she receive a promise in general, she receives the same exact promise that Abraham receives. He says, "I am going to make you into a great nation. This is unheard of. Women did not receive promises of being made into a great nation. This is a patriarchal society, okay? So he delivers her this promise. And did you know that Hagar is the first person in Scripture to receive a divine birth annunciation? So he says, I see you. You're going to be made into a great nation. And he uses these words, behold, you are pregnant and will bear a son, and you will call his name Ishmael. Sound familiar? It should, because 2,000 years later, right, Mary, handmaid of the Lord, receives a similar message. Behold, you will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. We, 2,000 years later, can hear that echoed. Hagar and Mary stand as examples of women who obediently accepted God's word despite their situations. And because of their obedience, they brought blessing to descendants that were too many to count. And just like Mary, Hagar is promised a son, and then she's given the name of the son, and that name will bear witness further to the character of who this God is. So first off, this story of Hagar reminds us that God is a father who sees. Secondly, it tells us that God is a father who hears us. In Genesis 16:11, behold, you are pregnant, you shall bear a son, you will call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. The name Ishmael literally means God has heard. So not only did God bless Hagar with a son and give her a promise of a bright future, but every time she called his name out, Ishmael, Ishmael, she was declaring, my God is a God who sees me. My God is a God who hears me. And I believe that's the only way that Hagar could go back into that same situation of oppression, because he didn't promise her relief on the spot, did he? He sent her right back. But what did he promise her? That I hear you, I see you, and I am always with you. And we see this promise fulfilled when yet again she's cast out into the wilderness in the story that we read today. In Genesis 21:17-18, they're cast out into the wilderness, not given enough water, clearly, to go into the desert. They run out of water. They're journeying, some people think, back to Egypt, which would have been a long time, on foot. She lays her son down, thinking, this is it. Okay, here we are again. And what happens? God appears, and he says in verse 17 of our passage today, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift up the boy, take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. And see, just when maybe it would have been easy to give up hope, Ishmael, who seemed to be cast out, made fatherless, the Heavenly Father steps in and says, I am a father to the fatherless. I'm a father who sees. I'm a father who's always listening. I'm attentive to your cries. I'm attentive to your suffering. I will not abandon you. He hears Ishmael's cry, and he responds again with his presence and with his provision. And again, fulfilling the promise that he had made to Hagar 14 years earlier, saying, I still see you. I still haven't forgotten. This still isn't the best situation that you probably would have planned, but I've made you a promise, and I promise to fulfill it. And this leads us to the final thing that this passage shares with us about the character and nature of God the Father. He's a father who sees, he's a father who hears, but finally, he's a father who can be trusted. You know, a lot of people can see and hear certain things and realize there's injustice going on, but sometimes it's easier to stay silent, right? To just not rock the boat. And I think one of the hardest things about us understanding or maybe trusting God our Father is that whether we like it or not, we as human beings make God into the best or worst versions of fathers around us. If you had a really great father, right? Maybe you think of God the Father and it's wonderful, but even if you had a great father, it pales in comparison to how good God the Father is. And if you had an absent father, or if you had a hard father, or if your father isn't with you anymore, these days can be hard and passages can be hard. And it's hard for us to really trust God the Father because we're measuring him by our own human experience. But the story reminds us again today that God the Father is a Father who can be trusted. Why? Because he doesn't just see and hear what happens to Hagar and Ishmael. What happens? First off, he's present. He literally shows up. Hagar names the Lord. I have seen the Lord, and I'm still alive, if you do the translation there. Most people hadn't seen God in that time, let alone women. God physically shows up with his presence to Ishmael and to Hagar. And then he responds. He responds saying, I have promises for you. You're not going to die in this place. I'm going to give you hope. And he gives provision. So he actually directly intervenes in the middle of the suffering. Yeah, his response the first time is to send Hagar back. But his response the second time is to miraculously provide a well in the middle of the desert. You think she just missed it, right? She lays her son down to die. Oh, I just missed the well right over there. God miraculously lets water be there. He's a father who can be trusted because when he sees us and hears us in the middle of things, he's always present. He will always respond in some way. And finally, he always keeps his word. And see, only a father who is present and proves his character can be trusted to ask hard things. Like God the Father asked Hagar in this, go back or continue into the wilderness. Or like our gospel reading today. Our gospel reading was kind of tough as well, right? You have a beautiful promise saying, aren't you more precious than a sparrow? And God has numbered every hair on your head. But then he goes on to say, unless you forsake father, mother, brother, kin, and follow me, you're not worthy of me. Only a father who shows up, who proves that he keeps his word, who knows the end of our story, can ask us hard things and ask us to hold on to his presence and his promises while we're walking through those hard things. The story of the Father, Heavenly Father, to Hagar and Ishmael gives us proof that we can trust God in the middle of our hard times that we can't see. But greater than all those times, Jesus is our proof here and now that our Father will always be present, that our Father will always show up. Because when we were far from God, when we messed up like Abraham had done 1,000 times, or like the people of God does, or when we continue to mess up, Jesus came to earth in our history to say, I'm present, I'm going to make everything better, and I will fulfill the promise that God has made that you will always be part of my family, that you can always come back, that you can always receive forgiveness. What this story reminds us of today is that God is faithful to fulfill every promise that he ever makes to us. Everyone's promise is fulfilled. Abraham and Sarah receive Isaac, even though they had acted in a way that maybe shouldn't have gotten their received promise, judged by earthly standards. Hagar is named and valued by God. She's one of the few people that gets to see God with her own eyes live, and then she and Ishmael are blessed and made into a great nation. This story reminds us that whether we ever deserve it or not, God is faithful simply because of who he is. Simply because he is a good God. He's a good father. He is loving and he will always care for his children. Jesus is the utmost example for us to be able to trust that today. And I would love to remind all of our hearts through scripture today that God sees everything we have been through and everything we're going through. He hears our prayers, and he came to earth to set everything right one day. And while we're in that waiting place, right, where maybe you feel like you're being sent out into the desert or you can't see the end of the story, he asks us to trust his track record. He asks us to trust him as a good father. We may not understand why he's allowed certain things that we're going through or why he asks us to give up such things to follow him, but he has promised that one day he will wipe every tear from our eyes, that he will make every bad thing come untrue, and he will put an end once and for all to all suffering and injustice. And in the meantime, we can trust him because of his track record, because he'll always show up. And while we wait, we can stop and we can invite the Holy Spirit to show us where he's at in our lives today, right? That's what happened to Hagar at the end of the story. God opened her eyes to see the provision. God opened her eyes to realize his presence. And even today, in the midst of darkness or loneliness or anything we're going through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we can take a moment to say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes, show me where God is in my story, and help me to keep on trusting him because he's a good father. So let's stop and pray and invite God to do that for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a father to the fatherless. We thank you that scripture and history and Jesus more than anything else has proved to us that you're a God who sees us, you're a God who hears us, and you're a God who's faithful to show up and to be with us always. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would open our eyes to be able to see where you're at in our story and in our lives, and help us to trust you more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.